Cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death among men in Australia, with gay men at a higher level risk than heterosexual men. Wire reporter Jake Morecambe spoke to Bernard Saliba from the Faculty of Health at the University of Technology, Sydney.
The first factor was actually discrimination in mental health, something called minority stress, which is basically just elevated levels of stress that are experienced by anyone who belongs to a stigmatized group. In Australia, we see that with things like the current laws around same-sex marriage, and also just reluctance, I guess, to visit mainstream health services because they've experienced discrimination.
I was even reading, it came down to what I found interesting was lifestyle, or like the lifestyle of gay men to, I guess, engaging in perhaps drinking, smoking or illicit drug use, which contributed to poor cardiovascular health.
And I had to be careful with that, not to reinforce any, or not to implicitly reinforce any stereotypes as well, because the whole point of this research is also to highlight, you know, there are these stereotypes. But that's the reality, is that because of what I found in terms of mental health problems and social isolation, a lot of people, and doesn't have to just be gay men, but anyone who does feel slightly marginalized or discriminated against, there's studies to show that they're likely to engage in risky behaviors. And risky behaviors could be things like smoking, which is to alleviate social stress. It's the same for alcohol as well. And the third one is the use of illicit drugs, and in particular, meth. That also leads me to the third point, or the third factor. And when you are engaging in risky behavior, especially, say, being on an illicit drug, you're likely to engage in risky sex. Gay men make up 75% of the Australians who are infected with HIV. And then the fourth one, obesity is not really a problem for gay men. However, there is one subgroup, you could say, of gay men who are known as the bears, or the gay bears.
Which is like big, beefy, which is like stocky, big, hairy guys.
Exactly. I mean, hairy falls into it. Do you know how bears started?
I don't know how the movements... Well, it's not necessarily a movement. It's like a subcultural movement.
It's a subgroup in the 1980s when HIV was becoming a big thing, and it was, you know, known as the gay disease. A lot of gay men started losing weight unintentionally, rapidly as well. So if you were seen to be skinny or you've lost a lot of weight, then you're more likely to be infected, or more likely to be POS or HIV positive. And if you were the opposite, so if you were bigger, beefier, musclier, then you're likely to be safe or uninfected. So you became more likely to be desired as a sexual partner.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And so, yeah, that was a big thing in the 80s, and it, of course, you still see bears these days, and there's bear bars, and there's, you know, the subculture is still there, and it's quite big as well. But of course, higher BMIs, generally lower self-esteems because of physical appearance, lead to what my first point was of, you know, you've got stress and mental health problems, and
intercommunal sort of marginalization given,
well,
I guess,
of course, yeah,
physique, and that can be an additional stress for people as well. I it's interesting that you raise that up as well, and I guess to go to your purpose of conducting this research and where you see it going, one of the things to come from this is interventions to tackle increased cardiovascular risk for gay men. In what form might you envision those interventions to come?
Well, because I do come from a health background, I think it's important to train on cultural diversity and being culturally sensitive when you are a health professional. But I don't think there's enough out there for people who are reluctant to visit these mainstream services because of previous experiences or past experiences where they've experienced some form of discrimination. I think personalized risk reduction strategies, especially for people who identify as bears and who might not want to lose weight, maybe because they feel like they are more successful as lovers or partners that way. But of course, national health strategies as well. So more education, I guess. Also targeting the community itself. So you see on gay dating apps like Grindr and Scruff, you're always getting advertisements about HIV testing and STI testing, but you never see anything that targets your mental health or if you're feeling okay or cardiovascular risk. To have people like the Heart Foundation or to get some sort of initiative from these organizations to get involved with gay activist groups and organizations, just to pay attention to the fact that there are people who might not tell you that they're struggling with an addiction, or they might not tell you that they are smoking or drinking more than they should.
Bernard Saliba, lecturer for the Faculty of Health at UTS, ending that report by Jake Morecambe.